You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, well, is the sun coming? You know, is all of this great outpouring of affection and resistance, righteous resistance, is this the dawning of a new day for our people and for our rights as European Americans, as white citizens of God's country, or the country that used to be God's country? But we'll see. That remains to be seen. But at least there's a heartbeat. You know, for 9 years, 10 years, we've done this show, and you know, obviously, we knew we had a great and robust audience, but nationally speaking, you know, we knew it was going to need a lot more. And we're beginning to feel the tremors. Well, we're going to be defining a term this hour that is piercingly accurate when it comes to labeling and defining the establishment Republicans that falsely portray themselves as authentic conservatives. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, we're going to wrap up the previous segment that featured Scoop Stanton and Sean Bergen in the last hour. And I just want to say, we ran right into the wall. We were trying to milk every second with Sean Bergen that we could. You know, Sean is a pro's pro, and we're very fortunate here on the Political Cesspool to be able to draw from his expertise and have him and his talent and having him on as a regular contributor to this broadcast. Well, Keith was listening along with the rest of the audience when Sean was holding court, and he wanted to make a quick comment before we go into the topic of this hour.
Well, I thought it might be interesting to consider that the Charleston shooter and the Chattanooga shooter were exactly the same, at least in the eyes of leftist groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, Media Matters, and the Huffington Post. How are they similar? Well, they both qualify as domestic terrorists. And of course, these groups have been telling us for years now that domestic terrorism is more deadly and more dangerous than foreign terrorism. Now, how could this Chattanooga shooter be considered a domestic terrorist? Well, he was born in the United States. So consequently, like Dylann Roof, who was also born in the United States, They're just a pair of Bubbas, okay? The fact that one is Islamic, has a name that none of us can pronounce properly, and is obviously motivated by Islam and his reading or interpretation of Islamic sacred text, has nothing to do with this. Of course, you know, we could, of course, it was, the left was crystal clear. There was no question whatsoever what was motivating Dylann Roof to do what he did in Charleston. But, of course, we were admonished not to rush to judgment about the Chattanooga shooter. You know, the fact that he was Islamic and the fact that his victims were American service personnel. Of course, you know, that's too simplistic. You know, we just can't jump to or rush to judgment about what's that. You know, it probably had something to do with drug addiction in his case, or it probably had something to do with some type of underlying mental illness, you know. But then, of course, the Charleston shooter, that's just pure evil, unadulterated, pure and simple. You know, the double standards that the left employs and the mental gymnastics that are necessary to engage in order to try to follow them are absolutely astounding. James, I'm just, you know, The truth is stranger than fiction, and it's just, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction in this case, by far. You know, the fact that all of America knows exactly why the Chattanooga shooter did what he did, it's like the emperor's new clothes. We need to tell the liberal emperors of America that they have no clothes.
Well, I think we do it here, Keith, every Saturday night, live on commercial broadcast radio, and we do it better than anybody else. And with that being said, we're going to spend the bulk of this hour breaking down a term that will become regularly used on this program. Now, we understand that this is a Christian show. It's a family show. So we want to tread lightly when we use this word. It's not a bad word, but certainly some of the sexual connotations, you know, you don't want to get into
It doesn't describe behavior that you would normally associate with your church or synagogue.
But, you know, so we don't want to go into it too deeply, but there's a new term that is piercingly accurate that's being used to describe establishment Republicans.
And mainstream conservatives like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and others.
Absolutely.
Who claim that they're not actually in bed with the Republicans. They pretend that they are independent, but they all apparently sing out of the same hymn book.
The word is cuckservative. Cuckservative. And it's a combination of the word cuckold and conservative. It is actually, earlier this week, I believe it was trending on Twitter, which means it was one of the most popularly used hashtags on Twitter, cuckservative. The Washington Post ran a featured article talking about the term, and there's actually a couple of different definitions about what a cuckold is. Number one, Shakespeare was, I believe, the first person to ever write about a cuckold, at least that we could
find. Well, let me just say this. He's a primary popularizer. It was used throughout medieval
war. Of course.
I think it was in Chaucer. It was in Christopher Marlowe and Ben Jonson as well.
That's right.
All of these Elizabethan playwrights talked about cuckolds. A cuckold was a married man whose wife was unfaithful, having sex with other men. In other words, she was an adulteress, and she would have the other, the adulterer's children, would be her child, but her unwitting husband would imagine them to be his own. That's what a cuckold was, and it was a term of derision. In other words, you were a pathetic wimp and a goof and a victim of being gulled and, you know, hoodwinked. If you were a cuckold, for a man to be a cuckold was basically a way of saying that he's really not a true man.
And then you fast forward to this day and age, and it has become a fetish in I guess some circles, where the husband of the wife actively watches her engage in intercourse with another man, and he receives pleasure from the humiliation and degradation. And that, I think, really is where it comes in, where the word conservative comes in. That's what these people are. They are the people who receive pleasure from being humiliated, pleasure from being taken advantage of, pleasure in surrendering their power.
And, you know, it's not even fanciful to say this, because there just has come out an article in New York Magazine about a man who claims that he is proving his bona fides as a liberal feminist because he has an open marriage and lets his wife have sex with strange men, and she comes back and tells him about the experience.
Well, we're going to talk about it. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to break it down and further. And as I said, the Washington Post has covered this. It's been covered nationally. And we're going to give you our take. We're going to break it down. Stay.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall-Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu-fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
So, conservative, no one wants to be defined as a sissy, but that's exactly what these people are. They care more with being invited to the right cocktail parties and having a job at a nonprofit in the Beltway than standing up for their heritage and for their culture and for their people. And I'm going to toss it over to Keith for a long definition in his own words, but just a couple of common traits. We've posted a couple of articles about this at our website. Jared Taylor on Our Side of the Fence wrote one. Richard Spencer has been covering this. Again, it was trending on Twitter early this week. It's really taking politics by storm, a very major story. And it's, of course, being applied to these wimpy Republicans. And
the wimps are howling. They are just absolutely in high dudgeon about this. And they, of course, they love to point out that this is something that racists and white supremacists have come up with to vilify them with.
That's right. That's their one answer to this. And well, here are some common traits of what a conservative entails, you know, what a conservative consists of. And then I'm going to toss it to Keith. A conservative will never once, not once, do or say anything brave in his life. He will distance himself immediately from any ally who lets slip a jarring sin against political correctness. Is at the rear end of a lemming herd and won't take a stand until numbers safely allow him to do so. A conservative is ignorant or afraid to confront racial, ethnic, and tribal truths, would rather bear witness to national decline and dissolution and preside over gross injustice than be on the record that there are consequential race and sexual differences beyond skin color and genitalia. A conservative dreadfully fears social ostracism, rendering him politically impotent. He will force himself to clap loudly for Bruce Jenner, to nod soberly in agreement with the pay gap lie that is mentioned yet again as gospel truth, and will insist that women's soccer is just as thrilling to watch as men's soccer.
And furthermore, he worships at the shrine of Martin Luther King.
That's actually right here. He will preface every feeble tiptoe into his own real talk wading pool by first declaring his allegiance to Martin Luther King. He is quick to jump down the throat of any real talker, that would be people like us, while giving every shrieking leftoid the benefit of the doubt. He will back down with the quickness at roundtable debates with aggressive liberals, and the only topics on which he won't back down are taxes on the oligarchs and fighting the terrorists over there so we don't have to fight them over here. And finally, he will intone that diversity is our greatest strength while commuting to a home in an upscale gated neighborhood that is 98% white and 2% Asian. Keith?
I tell you what, it's just incredible. When I read the thing, I immediately had this vision of Ben Ferguson, who is a local so-called conservative talk show host who cleaves so slavishly to the line of political correctness that, you know, I think he would outdistance a lot of liberals in that regard. I've never seen a guy so devoted to political correctness in his life than this fellow. Well, there's so many of them. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. Just, you know, you can go on and on with these people. The people that will buck it occasionally, people like, for example, Ann Coulter and Pat Buchanan, they're rare in the mainstream media, and they are taken to task for it, and they are almost, you know, it's like the phases of the moon. At least once a month, one of those two is in trouble, and they're trying to, you know, cut off their microphone once and for all. But see, a cuckservative is like a cuckold in that he is counterintuitive. Most people would support their base. They would try to defend their base, just like most husbands would defend their wife's honor and would not take pleasure at seeing their wife mounted by someone else, some other man. In fact, this Michael Sonnemore, I was telling you about this incredible article in the New Yorker magazine, which came out just at the same time this was breaking, where this liberal douchebag guy named Michael Sonnemore is bragging to the world that he is so enlightened and so advanced and so strong that he has an open marriage in which his wife routinely has sex with strange men, comes back to their home, gets in their marital bed, and starts telling him about the sexual prowess and virtues of Pablo or whoever it is that she's had sex with that night in a hookup. And he says, this doesn't show that he's a weak ninny, which is a conclusion that.
And this was published in a major publication,
yeah,
right?
Keith? New York Magazine. That's, I mean, yeah, that is right up there with the New Yorker and whatnot. It is just, you know, top rate.
A publication of record, in other words, yes.
Yeah, a publication of record and supposedly, you know, an in-crowd hit. It's something that tells you what the cognoscente, what the in-crowd is thinking and what they're doing, okay? It's something that, you know, could never be published in some backwater like Memphis or Houston, Texas, or something like this. This is, or Dallas or Salt Lake City, Utah. You know, you have to be a groovy East Coast liberal to get into this vibe. But anyway, this Michael Sonnemore is up here saying that he's strong. That, see, this is what the left thinks is strength, being a ninny and a weak wuss. Is, you know, I would
consider, and even though he would identify, though, as a liberal, it also applies as well to these so-called
well, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, the neoconservatives are basically just liberals. Jews like to own both sides of each coin. They see things in terms of a Hegelian dialectic. You have thesis in conflict with an antithesis, and the result is a blending called the synthesis. So if you want to control the blending or the actual eventual product, you control both the thesis and the synthesis. Well, neoconservatives are almost all Jewish. They're almost all lamestream conservatives. They're almost all cuckservatives, the ones that are there. People like Michael Savage, whatnot. But, you know, and he's even stronger medicine than people like Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, people like that. In fact, I will say this for Rush Limbaugh. He was the one that really got the ball rolling on cuckservatives. He talked about cuckolding.
Yeah, he mentioned it, yes.
He mentioned first, right at the beginning of last week, cuckolded Republicans as being the people that are opposed to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is no one's racially aware conservative, not by a long stretch, but he is challenging the right of the leftist media to quote-unquote control the conversation. They insist on controlling the conversation. They want conservatives talking about the export-import bank. I heard about that so much last week on Sean Hannity, I just about had to bring a barf bag into the car about the Iran arms deal. What's the big deal with the Iran arms deal? My goodness, the state of Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons. And they're afraid of Iran getting one. If Iran got one and dared to let it off in Israel, they could rain fire and brimstone down on Iran if they wanted to. Of course, they don't want to. They want us to do it at our expense and at, you know, of blood and treasure. So consequently, they want us interested in Export-Import Bank, the Iran arms deal, and other specious issues that are much ado about nothing. Meanwhile, things like the attack on Confederate flags, the attack on our Second Amendment gun rights, and the attacks on true conservative organizations like the Council of Conservative Citizens, they're only things that racists want to talk about, and the conservatives make sure that they stick to the politically correct line. In fact, I would say that the primary characteristic of a conservative is that they obey the taboos and the strictures of political correctness. Of course, if you do that, you'll never untie the Gordian knot. You'll never solve the problem. You'll never cause people to wake up. You can fight and win on the Export-Import Bank or on the Iranian arms deal. You're not going to retard our slide into third world status by an iota. This is why conservatives is a great breakthrough, and we need to use it because apparently it stings.
These people should be humiliated. They are a humiliation. They should be humiliated. They should be named in shame. They should not be respected. They should not be honored. They should be...
They should feel the lash.
That's absolutely right. We're going to give more on this right after this, so stay tuned.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so how does the term conservative apply to your average GOP voter? Now, I'm not talking about people who listen to this show that do vote for the GOP for different reasons, but people who absolutely put their faith in them as being
their savior.
Truly, yeah, their savior and true conservative stalwarts. Well, conservatives should be steamrolling a lame duck president. Instead, the GOP might as well not exist.
Grassroots can't make any progress.
Grassroots Republicans who thought they had retaken the government are confused, angry, and powerless. They worked for the Republican Party in good faith, but only get scorn and contempt. They've been deceived. They've been cheated. And they've been exploited. In short, they've been cucked or cuckolded. Now, how does this apply, though, to the people in positions of power in conservative incorporated, as people are calling it, and the GOP power base? First of all, another definition of cuckservative that we've posted to our website. We've got two or three articles on this, comprehensive articles that we'd like you to read. But in broad strokes, very basically, the conservative is a white Gentile conservative or libertarian who thinks he's promoting his own interests but really isn't. In fact, the conservative is one who suffers from ethnomasochism and pathological altruism. In short, a conservative is a white non-Jewish conservative who isn't racially aware. Jews really can't be conservatives in the sense that we're using this term. They can be neocons for sure, but everything Jewish people do is done to benefit their tribe, which is very healthy. And finally, in a political sense, you go back to this this fetish of a husband who receives physical pleasure from being humiliated and degradation. And this is how you liken it to the political sense, is that the husband in this case is the Republican base. And he's watching his wife or his nation in this context be banged out by third world immigrants. And that's where we are. And it's a term that they hate, but it's one that, again, is a very accurate definition. And they really do need to be shamed.
Well, they need to own it. I have a little bit different take on it than you. I think that the cuckservative is the mainstream mouthpiece conservative that abides by political correctness and is all too happy to scorch and excoriate a true conservative that expresses any politically incorrect thought on issues like race or the equality of mankind or IQ or anything like this.
John Roberts would be another example of a conservative. Yeah. Justice Roberts, every presidential candidate in the GOP field, with the exception possibly of Trump, and most likely of Trump, all of Rand Paul,
they all surrender under pressure because they all are, you know, not true blue, dyed-in-the-wool conservatives like we here at the Political Cesspool and our listenership. These are the people that insist on getting brand X conservatism. And like the cuckolded husband, they're either okay or even take a perverse pleasure in seeing their own base thrown under the bus. They like seeing real conservatives made to squirm. They like to see us. They have an unnatural affection for seeing people who should be their allies are the basis of their, for example, listenership. If you're Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham or any of these people, rather than coming to their aid, they're more than willing, and they're brisk for business, actually, to throw their own base under the bus. Now, there's something terribly unmanly about a cuckolded husband, a man who, well, it's bad enough. In the medieval terms, they couldn't even comprehend a man actually knowing that his wife was having sex with another man and condoning it. That's more of a modern development. Back then, it was just basically an alternative way of saying the guy was out of touch and stupid. Now, a person that actually would take pleasure at seeing another man mount his wife is a sickoid, okay? I can remember this. In my neighborhood, working class neighborhood in Memphis, Tennessee, when I was a preteen child, there was one couple on the entire block that I lived on that had a divorce. They had a fellow named Huckleberry, that was his last name, who was a hotshot salesman for a Ford dealership in West Memphis. He always drove around in a red Ford convertible, usually a Ford Victoria or something like this, with white leather upholstery. Well, he came home one day at lunch, and lo and behold, when he came to his house, he found his wife in bed with the notorious womanizer and dirt track racer named Hooker Hood. Okay, and I remember the whole thing because gunshots rang out. Hooker Hood jumped through a window and escaped down a ditch in the back. Mr. Huckleberry, beat on his wife, and they got a divorce. And it was so shameful to the children that the whole family had to move to Forest City, Arkansas. So back then, Mr. Huckleberry had what people would have considered to be a normal reaction of a loving husband who finds that his wife has been unfaithful and catches his wife with her adulterous paramour in flagrante delicto. Now, in today's world, Mr. Huckleberry would be considered weak and pathetic. The strong man would be like this Michael Sonnemore guy who sanctions open marriage, allows his wife to go out and take on paramours, and then he sits and listens tolerantly as she tells him all about what's going on.
And this is, again, gets back to the inverse of reality. I mean, now we have the greatest hero in American public life is a 65-year-old man in drag. So evil is good, good is evil. The Bible talks about this. And so it's going down across the board.
And we're the people that are going to, like the little child, we're telling the emperor that he has no clothes. We're saying, this is sick. It's not only sick when it happens in real life in a adulterous relationship. It is also
sick in a political sense.
It's sick in this political sense. And quite frankly, everybody needs to tune out people like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, all these other cuckservatives. They need to be shamed. And furthermore, this is our grand opportunity, as I see it, James, to make real headway with the younger generation. Liberals are now the establishment, and children like to rebel, okay? Well, we're going to give them the opportunity. Real men are real conservatives like us. Just like a real man wouldn't tolerate being cuckolded, a real man won't listen without total scorn for a cuckservative. We'll be looking for cuckservative signs in all of these big-time radio jocks.
Well, I wrote about that. Keith, I wrote about this. I put a picture of the tombstone of one of my Confederate ancestors, my great-great-great-grandfather, Levi Smith, put a picture on the website, I believe it was on Thursday or Friday, of his tombstone. I said, you know, a man who will not defend his family's name and honor isn't a man at all. And that gets back to what we're talking about here. A man who does not prefer his own family to strangers is not a man. And, you know, listen, it has nothing to do, obviously, with hatred of other people. It's just a natural preference for those with whom you share a common identity and a culture and heroes and history and language, et cetera, et cetera. Our race is our nation, in a sense. It's our extended family. And just as we would prefer our own children to the next door neighbors, so we prefer the people who we have the most in common with to others, but it doesn't mean that we want people who aren't part of that family to
suffer. Just like a real man would not tolerate another man mounting his wife, okay? Likewise, a real conservative would not tolerate fellow conservatives being savaged by the left. Somebody like Karl Rove
is
a conservative.
This is a good point. Absolutely. Now, this is a good point. So, incredible. You know, as we get savaged on a weekly basis, you know, these people who claim to be conservative should be rallying to our defense, but where are they, Keith?
Well, they're in the closet, apparently.
Well, we're not going to talk about what they're doing. But, I mean, you know, they are. And we got this picture here. Hey, Keith, this is my favorite picture of all the memes that have popped up on online to sort of give you a mental picture of what a conservative is. This is the Gadsden flag that once said...
Has a snake coiled around and says, "Don't tread on me." Well, on this one it says, "Oh, please tread on me."
And the snake has a ball gag in his mouth, and it's tied to his head, and he's looking wantingly at the, you know, he's staked to the ground and tied to the stake, and he's, you know, waiting for the person to come over and beat
like,
on him
like,
and
like
degrade
him. Like a snake
him.
Is suffering bondage and discipline or something.
But anyway, folks, we're going to move on from this in the next segment. But this is a word that I believe should be used, and, you know, we don't want to get too graphic. We don't want to get... You know, we don't want to
but
use
on the other hand,
a word of
poor
taste.
Visual, this really hits them where they live. And the young despise these people instinctively, and we need to
people
give them a way to
people still instinctively gravitate let's to strength. And we've got the strength on our side.
That's why Donald Trump is leading the polls for
right.
the Republicans
News,
now.
We'll be back.
Network. Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength? In body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh?" My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Texting my wife during the commercial break here. Keith, we're going to transition now from the topic of this new definition that, again, is just a perfect
description. Stroke of genius, cuckservative.
Whoever came up with it was a genius because that I think so. It hits him where it hurts. it really shines a spotlight on their attitude, and it's humiliating to them, or at least it should be. It also points out the betrayal that they have engaged in on their base. And
it's perverse to enjoy betrayal.
Absolutely. And we hope it's something that sticks. But now, two names here. Roy Heron, number one. You probably haven't heard of that name. He's a local representative up in West Tennessee. Keith's going to tell you why we're going to talk about him. But first, Keith, first, before we even get into that, I'd like to ask you to cover why Harper Lee, she of To Kill a Mockingbird fame, is back in the news.
Well, Harper Lee was considered to be the white Gentile equivalent of J.D. Salinger, the Jewish author who wrote Catcher in the Rye and wouldn't write anything else and stayed away from writing and zealously guarded his privacy. Well, Harper Lee was the Southern white Gentile equivalent of that. She wrote this one novel, wouldn't allow anything else to be found to get printed during her lifetime, and it was known that she had written another novel. Well, that other novel has finally come to light now. It was called To Set a Watchman. And it was actually the first novel that she wrote and sent to the Jewish publishers in New York City. But the Jewish publishers in New York City, although they could tell that she was a talented writer and wanted her to write for them, got involved and basically had her rewrite the whole thing. And what came out was the famous or infamous, depending on your point of view, To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird, of course, shows this righteous white Southern lawyer, Atticus Finch, defending a wrongfully accused black man accused of raping a white person. And even though he gives a manly defense of this man and suffers the slings and arrows of the racist white society in which he lives, Tom Robinson, the black man, is eventually convicted wrongfully and whatnot. So, you know, that's a story. It shows Atticus Finch is this great hero. I've heard all sorts of liberals saying that they were drawn to be lawyers because of the model of Atticus Finch. Well, basically, there's a great article.
That's what happened to you, right, Keith?
No, not quite. That wasn't it. Atticus Finch was not my role model. But anyway, this other Atticus Finch is. There's an article written by our friend Roger Devlin that shows up on the show all the time, normally talking about his Manosphere articles about modern male-female relationships and, you know, what the terrain is like nowadays. But he also wrote this article, Atticus Finch Grows Up, that has appeared on American Renaissance, and I would invite any of you to take a look at it. Basically, Atticus Finch is now moved from the 30s to the 50s, and he's attending a White Citizens Council meeting. And Jean Louise Scout has come down from New York, finds out about this. Not only is he attending the meeting, but her fiancé, Hank, is attending it. And Jean Louise goes ballistic, accuses them of being racial snobs and whatnot, and breaks off her engagement. She's kind of like Skeeter in The Help. She acts like that.
So basically what you're telling us is that 20 years after the time in which To Kill a Mockingbird was set, Atticus Finch has become a race realist.
Well, he was probably a race realist all along. As Roger Devlin shows, there's no inconsistency with a lawyer that doesn't want to see a black man wrongfully convicted of a crime he didn't commit on one hand, and being a race realist on social matters otherwise. That's all perfectly consistent. In fact, if you read this article, Atticus Finch, in my opinion, is just a paragon. I mean, he says, for example, he attends a White Citizens Council meeting, and he admits to Jean Louise Scout Finch that this fella is kind of, you know, over the top that was speaking. She said, well, then why did you let him talk? He said, because he wanted to. In other words, that shows true tolerance, the true tolerance that white Southerners truly had back in the day. In fact, this new book is a wonderful snapshot into what actually happened in the South during the Civil Rights Movement in the 50s and 60s, as opposed to the way it's portrayed by today's Hollywood and by the leftist media.
And as we read through this review by Roger Devlin. We draw inspiration from it, but I guess the reader is supposed to take this in and be horrified, correct?
Well, the only reaction you get from the mainstream media and the academics is Atticus Finch was actually a racist. Well, no, Atticus Finch was a race realist, and he was tolerant, and he knew that this, our country and Southern society in particular was taking a wrong turn, and he tried to do something to prevent it. And let me tell you, he was right on target. This is what you have to know about liberalism. We say it on this show all the time. Liberalism is the modern face of evil, and that applies to every radical, egalitarian, legal, liberal movement, including the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was just a camel's nose in the tent. It was the first card they played. They played their strongest suit. And it's the one they always retreat to when they get into heavy sledding with any of their new, more absurd, radical, egalitarian movements like global warming or gay rights or gay marriage or whatnot. You notice that whenever the public just seems to have had enough of it and is basically barely containing their laughter about what the left is doing, they trot out a new reminiscence about the wonderful old days, grand old days of the civil rights movement, like The Help, or the movie on Malcolm X, or the movie on the Tuskegee Airmen, or something like this, that supports their fable. They want everybody to remember the wonderful old days of the civil rights movement when liberals were righteous and conservatives were evil, because they still want everybody to have that firmly in mind and to use the same template on every other leftist movement that comes down the pike. But see, read this article by Roger Devlin.
I believe it's posted and published on American Renaissance.
It is. It's called Atticus Finch Grows Up. They have this scrolling screen up at the top where they have about five articles. When it comes up to Atticus Finch Grows Up, it's got a picture of Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch in the old movie To Kill a Mockingbird with Black Tom Robinson and bib overall standing next to him in this courtroom. Halo on both of those guys, right? You know, well, anyway, read this article and read it. I think it probably shows that Harper Lee deep down sympathized with the Atticus Finch of the 50s and basically the Atticus Finch of the 30s that is portrayed in To Kill a Mockingbird was the invention of a Jewish New York editor back in the 50s.
Well, and that's right, because this was the original manuscript that was sent in, and they made her edit it so radically that it didn't even at all resemble the To Kill a Mockingbird as we know it.
And now, after her death, the original manuscript she submitted to Set a Watchman has come out. That's the new novel. I'd recommend you read it, because quite frankly, it makes abundant sense and is really a much more accurate portrayal in how educated Southerners approached the invasion of called Second Reconstruction, the civil rights movement that happened in the 50s and 60s, much more so than all of the propaganda that you get from today's Hollywood and the news media and academia about what happened back then. You know, it's an incredible snapshot, and I would recommend that you read for a little thumbnail sketch of it, Roger Devlin's always excellent analysis.
Well, you have 60 seconds before the end of the segment. Do we want to even crack the acorn on Roy Herron?
Talk about Roy Herron. Roy Herron is a white Southerner who ran for Congress in the Western District of Tennessee.
And we literally have 1 minute.
And here's why. He wrote an article in the Sunday, July 12th, 2015 Communist Appeal, the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, in the Viewpoint section of the Sunday paper. And it says, growing up with the flag, and has a little boy with a Confederate flag in front of his face. It says, adult understanding replaces childhood fascination. The reason I wanted to bring this up, that tells you everything you need to know about it, is that it follows the maxims of cultural Marxism to a key. It is the therapeutic state. Basically, if you rever the Confederate flag, that shows that you are stuck in the anal phase of development, as Freud said. You're like a grown-up child going around dressing in uniforms, playing soldiers and whatnot, like you're 8 years old. And that if you become an adult and get cured of your infantile fantasies and your mental illness, you will understand what a hateful, hurtful symbol the Confederate flag is, and you will agree to its destruction and banishment from the public square and from public discourse, and it will be considered the equivalent of the Nazi swastika. So that's the whole article in a nutshell. But, you know, study cultural Marxism, folks. Study the four basic principles. You've got the long march through the institutions, critical theory, therapeutic state. All of these things are alive and well today. They're being used. Therapeutic state, I read this and I said, this is the most perfect exposition of the therapeutic state I've ever seen.
Keith has been on fire tonight, as he always is. Keith Alexander the Great, everybody, with us for 2 hours this evening. When we come back, yours truly will be joined by Eddie the Bombardier Miller, batting closer tonight. If you think things have been hot with Keith, wait till the Bombardier gets in here. He loves to smell a napalm at 8 p.m. Central on Saturday night. Stay tuned.